Hi, good morning, Shalom Aleichem, Abbasai. I hope everyone is well. Mishle Shlomo ben David Melch Yisrael. The Gaon writes Mishle. So a mashal is a parable. B'chol dava yesh chomer upoel. V'tzura v'tachlis, k'mo shekasavnu kam upon it. The chomer is the material, the substance. V'chein hu kan mishlei hu achomer shel ha-sefer hazeh. This sefer consists of parables, of metaphors. Shlomo v'gomer, meaning the rest of the pasuk, as the Gaon will spell out shortly. Shlomo hu ha-poel. The poel is the active agent, right? You have the material, and then you have someone who's working with that material. L'das chochma u'musa l'hoven imre bina pasuk beis. Hutavnes v'tzuraso v'nyano. Tzura is used to mean the essential quality. If you have something which is purely physical, so then its essential quality is usually defined by its shape. So hence we use the word tzura. You're dealing with something physical and you sculpt it in the shape of a chair. That is its essential quality. But tzura really has an abstract definition. I mean, shape is something physical, but that's just one instance of what tzura is. Tzura really has an abstract definition, meaning the essential quality. Right? The Rambam says that the tzura of a person is his nefesh, because that's the essential defining quality of what it means to be a human being. If you have a lump of clay, so what distinguishes one lump of clay from another lump of clay? So its shape is the most defining difference. So its essential quality, its content, right? In a sefer, so its essential quality is going to be its content. Is ladas, to teach, to learn, to know, chochma u'musa, to understand imre bina, v'hatachlis, but what's the ultimate purpose, what's the goal of that? Hi lakachas musa. Is to implement the musa. See, it's interesting. You know, obviously, learning Tanakh is not Rachman Litzlan studying literature. And yet, there are lessons that we can learn in terms of, let's say, our own writing or our own oral presentation, which is obviously Shelo B'Ruach HaKodesh, from Sifrei Tanakh. Not everything is going to be unique and attributable to the fact that it's Nema B'Ruach HaKodesh. As already indicated by these opening lines, and the Gaon is going to spell this out some more in the next few lines. We'll see Bli Nedar and Hashem. Having a sense of what the Sefer is about, what the Sefer is conveying, seeking to accomplish, is crucial for the one learning the Sefer to be able to certainly get the most, and to a certain degree, even to understand. If I'm reading a story, or for that matter, if I'm writing a story, so it's crucial that it be understood whether the significance of the story is just, I don't know, it's a historical narrative, or whether the significance of the story is something beyond it. Maybe it's not even historical. Maybe it's a marshal. And maybe it's something which is being used as a vehicle to teach and to illustrate. So if our reaction, you know, to this opening pasuk is that it's something natural, so think of it sort of as a mitzvah, which is a mishpat. A mitzvah, which is a mishpat, means that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed the mitzvah on Har Sinai, but he also gave us an intuition for the mitzvah. So it's not something that because it came through Mamad Har Sinai, through his galus, which is something which is lamala min haseichel. No, some of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals are very much within the grasp of the seichel. And so too, in terms of this just very intuitive opening of the Sefer. Maybe we'll come back, Lineda, to this Kilo Alimad Iker Ala Maisa, but for today, just try to read a little bit more. Shalom ben David Melech Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech is, he wants to make sure that, you know, Mishlei was going to be a bestseller. He wants to make sure that the royalties get paid, you know, that the royalty checks get paid get sent to the right address. So he's got his copyright here. Shalom and David Melech Yisrael. So the Gaon has a different job in why this is front and center. Ki alomid v'seif etzach leida mi u'machabro. It's true that there is a klal, kabel emes mi misha amora, that we should judge divrei Torah, not just divrei Torah, in any context. We should judge things on their own merit. But that notwithstanding, halomid b'sefer tzarech leida mi u'machaber. Why? Ki im yiyah ha'machaber godol b'chochma. If the Mechaber is someone who's great in wisdom, bevada yiyu b'sifo chochmas gedolos. So then there's a presumption, a cheskas vadai, an absolute presumption, that if the person is gadol b'chochma, if he's great in wisdom, so then what he writes in his sefer is going to be replete with wisdom. Similarly, v'chein b'yira, if he's a person who's a big bal yira. So then there's a cheskas vadai that what he's writing in his sefer is going to be replete with yira. If you find a manuscript, someone will go to, I don't know, one of the libraries where they have collections of manuscripts, and they'll find a manuscript, and then we'll analyze, and they'll make a positive identification that this is a new manuscript from Yisrael Salanta. So then that's not just sort of an interesting historical idea. It's relevant in terms of what the Cheskas Vaday is about the Sefer. If the person is Gadol Be'ira, so then there's a presumption that the Sefer is replete with Yira. V'chein b'Torah, simply with Torah. Why do we need that presumption? We'll figure it out for ourselves. If the Sefer is Gadol B'Chochma, so Yoyed Al Atzma. And similarly, if the Sefer is going to be replete with Yira or replete with Torah, in each of these cases, so Hadvarim Yoyedu Al Atzma. So why do I need to know from the get-go that there is such a Cheskas Vaday? So the answer is simple. Let's say a person's learning a Rambam, and l'chora the Rambam is against the Gemara. So why do we work so hard to figure out what Pshat the Rambam is? No, so he said against the Gemara. He never learned the Gemara. So he said against the Gemara. I do it all the time. He never learned it, so he said against it. So why are we working? Why are we working so hard in saying Pshat and the Rambam? So the answer is because we know who the Rambam is, and because we know who he is, and because that establishes a Cheskas Vaday, establishes an absolute presumption. So that influences how our approach to learning. Let's say a person receives an Igeres Shlomim, receives a letter from a friend, and the friend says, "Hi, how you doing?" Not a letter, an email, excuse me, or not an email either, whatever. I don't know how people communicate anymore. I don't know. Pony Express, that's the way I send my messages. The pigeon, right? Carrier pigeon. Carrier pigeon brings you a note, and it's from your friend, and the friend says, "Hi, how you doing?" So is there a diuk as to why he said, "How you doing," as opposed to "How are you?" So in 99.99% of the cases, the answer is no. If you happen to be zocha to be friendly with Reb Chaim, the answer is going to be yes. If a person knows who the Mechaber is, and because of that, that creates a cheskas vaday, an absolute presumption about the tochen. So that influences how we learn. It doesn't mean that a person ever puts something into a text, but what it does mean is that the person realizes that there's reason to work harder to understand what the text means. I remember once I was in the car many, many years ago with a Nissen Alpert, Zechon Levracha. And he was saying, I don't remember what he was talking about, a Medrash or a Kasha of Tosfos and Rashi. I'm not positive which, but it could have been either. Maybe it was both. Maybe that's why I'm not sure. So he said he once had, I don't know whether it was a very cryptic medrash or a strong kasha of Tosfos and Rashi. So he said that he went to a room and told himself he wasn't coming out until the fair upshot. Now, I'm not necessarily recommending that may be a dangerous course of action. But if a person has the wherewithal to figure out Pshat. So what that story reflects is this idea. Rashi said that there has to be a Pshat. Okay, the reason why it's not necessarily a recommended course of action for us is doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to figure out the Pshat. But in terms of that there is a Pshat and that I should be working to figure it out, and that if a person is a certain Baal Madrega, maybe he can even say, and there's nothing to stop me if only the Amala will be there. So that's why it's very important to understand and to know who the Mechaber of the Sefer is. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here for now. And we'll We'll resume around 12:30, beginning the second parak. Everyone should have a good, productive morning. Everybody, be well, be safe.